This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is October the 13th, and it's episode 394. Gonna be hitting 400 before you know it. And then, after that, we're gonna be hitting whatever it is. There's a guy walking down the road here. I may need to. No, he's waiting. Okay. Going to be 8 years worth of podcast here pretty soon at 416. Is that right? 52 weeks in a year, 416. Anyways, been a good week. Got a lot of stuff done. Not coming in tomorrow unless something bad happens. But thankfully, that does not happen very often. Anyway, so that all goes well. I am closing out the second week of work writing on the new book, book 6 of 24. And that seems to be going well. I was working on it today, and I was just thinking, you know, I just don't. I was on the way in, I'm driving, and I'm thinking, just don't have, like, a really big thing. What is the big thing? I got to thinking about that, and I started taking some of the pieces and rearranging them a little bit, and I was like, aha, that's what the big thing is. So, I have the big thing now. I have to go back and do just a little bit of rewriting and moving some characters around, but I think this will work. I think it'll work. So that's fun. There is some interesting things in this book. It's, you know, you're sitting there writing along and you go, oh, so that's happening. Okay. And sometimes I write myself into places that I'm not exactly sure how we're going to get out of them, but that's all part of the fun. You know, you get yourself in trouble and then you figure out, okay, now what? So I'm setting myself up for a little excitement later on. I do have one interesting problem that one of those things that I want to address it, but I'm not sure I'm fully qualified to address it. And I would not like to be too presumptuous in how I would address it and how I would suggest that the character get past this event in their life. And yet, nonetheless, it seems to me that there should be a way to move past those things, a way to find healing. So, I'm pretty sure I know how we're going to get on past that, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. I would hate to be presumptuous, but when is a novelist not presumptuous? When is a novelist not egocentric? Egocentric's a little strong of a word. There certainly are novelists who are egocentric. There are some of us who just enjoy writing so much, we're going to write. And I'm always pleasantly surprised when someone is intrigued or entertained or enjoys my work, and I try to always make it worth reading to where there is something to think about. But by the same token, I don't necessarily write to let everybody else know that I know everything there is to know about a topic. My writing is more along the lines of, this is what I'm thinking right now. It may change. So it's going to be interesting. I've got to, you know, exercise some caution on sensitive subjects, not to get too far into hubris, but we'll see. We'll see. It's fun. It's been a good week. Been a good week. I had a chance to get together with at least one buddy. I had a Friday morning breakfast. That was fun. Oh, and I had a Saturday morning breakfast, too. That was fun. Get a chance to get together with buddies and chat about life, the universe, and everything. And I really intended to swing off onto another kind of topic today, since I've been talking about men and women and lust and fear for the last 5 weeks. Ugh. And I'm kind of burned out on that topic a little bit. I'm still listening and picking things up and putting things in spots and thinking and all that kind of stuff. But it's just, you know, after 5 weeks, I'm ready to move on to other topics. Because I've bookmarked some sciencey things, and I've bookmarked some, I think, some deep learning stuff that was interesting, and I'd like to get onto some of that stuff. And I fully intended to do that. And then last Thursday, we had this big tamasha, as they would say, in Sri Lanka, I think. You know, Donald Trump and his lewd remarks. And there was at least one thing that came out of this that I found fascinating. And it's not, it wasn't the fact, well, more than one, it wasn't the fact that the media just plowed into this. I mean, they just hammered it and hammered it and hammered it as if it was some great news that Donald Trump is a loudmouth and has said rude things about women. There have been some interesting questions raised on all that. Why did people sit on this recording for so long? Was it out of respect for Donald Trump? I don't think so. So I'm sure there's some kind of story in there, but who knows? Who knows? But there were a few things that were interesting about all this. And it wasn't the fact that this happened 11 years ago. Now, he probably hasn't changed much in 11 years, but it was 11 years ago that he was stupid enough to get caught on tape saying these things. That wasn't it. I got tickled at my dad because I had taken my dad to the dentist a couple of times this week, and we got talking about this. And I mentioned, you know, it was 11 years ago when he went, what? My dad is 93 and a half. So I thought that was just like yesterday he said that. I said, no, Bob. It's 11 years ago, but you would expect from the fervor that there has been. Rawr! Really interesting. It's just really interesting that this story has been given the level of energy. Now, were his comments terrible? Yes, they were. Yes. They were terrible, yes. But as long as we're going to be trumpeters, equal opportunity trumpeters of things that are terrible, you know, I was fascinated to see how little traction stories like one of Bill Clinton's alleged rape victims coming forward and describing in detail what happened to her and describing in detail how Hillary allegedly threatened her if she came forward and said anything. That doesn't seem to get nearly the traction. It's just fascinating to watch. But none of that was really what piqued my interest about this. Neither did it pique my interest that this was labeled sexual assault. So are we to the point now where someone can say something to another person in private that has nothing to do, that the people allegedly being assaulted are not even an earshot of it, and then somehow that becomes assault? I thought assault had to have a target, and that target had to be aware of the assault. Maybe we have new definitions now. Because when Obama, I think it was Obama, came out and labeled it sexual assault, I was like, what? How did we get from an idiot making comments to sexual assault? But that's not really what I found interesting about it. What I found interesting about it was not even the Republicans going crazy, but rather the hypocrisy that was expressed. Because I understand the Republicans going crazy over this. They hate Donald Trump. I understand that. You know, from all appearances, Donald Trump is a blowhard, and he's gotten where he has by not necessarily listening to his spirit, or rather to his flesh. I understand that. I understand that he just hijacked the Republican Party, and they are pretty ticked off about that. I understand that. So I can understand how when something like this comes up and it just looks like political suicide, that they would just go apoplectic. I understand that part. That's not really what I found fascinating. There were really two things that I found fascinating. Let's first of all start with the guys. You know, I've talked multiple times about the fact that there are two great ways that the flesh comes after us. There's lust and there's fear. And on average, in general, the flesh uses lust to blind men and to destroy their lives. On average, in general. Some men are more fearful than other men. That's true. But on average, in general, the flesh uses lust. I should tell you that from a lust perspective, I don't know if it's because I have low testosterone or because my brain is just wired weird. I spent a fairly peaceable childhood, even after I had crossed into puberty. There was a long time when I had no idea. I mean, into my teens, I had no idea what was going on with physical intimacy. And I never really experienced that noise that a man gets when he sees a well-shaped woman, somewhat scantily clad, be it a bathing suit or underwear or anything like that. I think I was like 18 before I looked at a tire ad that had a girl in a bikini standing next to a stack of tires, and I felt that draw within me, and it made me mad. Because I thought, why are you putting this picture on here to sell tires when she doesn't have anything to do with the tires? It made me mad. But see, that was 18. So I think I can safely say that the level of lust in my life is probably lower than average. And yet, those horrible things that Donald Trump was saying in that video, when I look deep within me and I kick over the rocks that are down there, that I used to hold all that stuff down, I recognize those statements. I recognize those base motivations that are created by my lust. And this week, as I have talked to my friends, my male friends, and I have said things along that line, you know, honestly, if we all look down in within inside us, deep inside us, I think we can recognize those motivations by the lust. They have all nodded their heads. So I suspect that in fact, all these Republicans who are apoplectic about these comments that Trump has made recognizes those motivations in themselves as well. Along with all the newscasters, the male newscasters, who are apoplectic, along with all the male accusers who are standing up and going, "You!" and assigning whatever IST they want to put on the back of it, misogynist, whatever. They recognize those things in themselves as well. As well as all the people who have stood up and said, you know, well, we don't talk like that in our locker room. As if at the base of who they are, there isn't this growling monster of lust that we hopefully, as men, learn to get some control over. And yet, instead of saying, buddy, that's no way to live, that will destroy you, you know, instead of saying, wow, that's a really immature attitude. And certainly, men who do not bring any discipline into their lives can have those types of attitudes. But at some point, we have to grow up. And for someone to speak like that of women really is just a deep sign of insecurity, and it's a deep sign of immaturity. But that does not immediately relegate someone to being blatantly, overtly, and unredeemably evil. And that's one of the things I found intriguing this week. I found intriguing men who should be honest enough to admit that it is only through a process of maturity that they have walked away from those things, acting like they're just so shocked that a man would say these things. When And in fact, that is the ugliness of the lust that lives within each of us. And that is why, in Still Whispers, I put in the chapters where I spoke against this attitude that the majority of men struggle with. And I talked about how that we as men constantly have to fight against the flesh's suggestion that all women exist to help me control my sperm count. That we constantly have to fight against that. And all its hiding permutations and all its reflections that sometimes are hard for us to make the connection to, that at the base of the way we're acting, at the base of the way we're emoting, at the base of the attitudes we're displaying, at the base of the things we are saying, there is really this attitude of all women exist to help me control my sperm count. This is what I was talking about in Still Whispers many, many years ago when I turned 50. So that would have been 9 years ago. And it is, I'm checking my mail, and it is very much along the lines of the terminology that the feminists have put forth called rape culture. That is what is driving rape culture, is that attitude that the flesh is putting forth. So the first thing I found interesting this week was this hypocrisy of acting like this was completely shocking to them. On both sides of the political aisle. You know, on the Republican side and on the Democrat side. Although I did find it even more interesting on the Democrat side, since, you know, their candidate is married to a guy who would probably have exactly these same attitudes, and if had been recorded at the right time, would have said exactly the same thing. And their candidate is actually married to one of those guys and allegedly acted in such a way as to enable him. So that was interesting. The other thing that was interesting this week were that there were a number of articles where women were talking about how awful and terrible these comments made them feel. How this has been their secret fear, that men were talking about them this way. And how, and, you know, that they were all the brunt of some joke where men would joke about, you know, wanting to grab them when they weren't around. And everyone was in on the joke except them. This terrible fear. And mostly, though, what I found fascinating was I read several articles where women said that they just couldn't imagine that a man would talk like that. And out of that, I thought, well, that's an interesting parallel. Because men are pretty clueless when it comes to the depth and the extent of an, on average, in general, woman's experience in fear. They're pretty clueless. When I've talked to men about this, they've looked at me and gone, what? Yeah, buddy, yeah. That's why you get some of the reactions that you get that seem so far out of scope. It's escalation. And after I've talked to some men about it, they've kind of gone, oh. Because they just didn't realize. And even having it as head knowledge, it's still very difficult to come to a visceral understanding of what that fear must be like on a constant basis. What I found fascinating this week is apparently the flip side is true. That women really, really do not get the depth and the pervasiveness and the aggressiveness of the lust that the flesh peddles deep within our hearts as men. And that was an interesting thing to me. And it makes perfect sense. And I've brushed up against it in other times, but it was really driven home this week that, yeah, we as a species, as different genders, we've just really do not understand each other. And part of the reason that we don't understand each other is that we are afraid to reveal ourselves to each other because the likelihood is that we will be rejected if we reveal ourselves. So women hide their fears. Men hide their lust and act like, oh, I don't have a problem with that. I don't know. And all of us just kind of go trundling along, not really getting all the various things that are pinging around in our spirits and pinging around in our flesh and pinging around at the base of our souls. And it's just sad. It's just sad. So, you know, at the end of the day, though, I am grateful. I am grateful that life is not the way it was portrayed this week. That no matter who you are, and what you have done, you do not ever become an irredeemable ist. Because to hear people tell it this week, there was no hope for Donald Trump. That he could never recover from this. That this was who he was. It was a definition of him, and he would be never anything else besides those remarks. And I am so grateful that I absolutely do not believe that. Because for me, there is always an opportunity for growth. There is always an opportunity for learning. There is always an opportunity to make a better decision tomorrow. And I find a tremendous amount of hope in that. Now, will Donald Trump make a better decision tomorrow? Will Bill Clinton make a better decision tomorrow? Will Hillary Clinton make a better decision tomorrow about who they are and how they want to move forward in life? I have no idea. And they have every right as human beings and possessors of free will to decide the direction that their lives are going to go. But I, for one, am not going to proclaim that someone is irretrievably broken and unredeemable. Because I don't believe that. Because if that's true, we are all in a world of hurt. And I would rather always hold out the possibility that there can be change and maturation and learning to move more and more each day in grace and mercy and kindness and love, in learning to live by the Spirit, no matter what ugliness the flesh is constantly trying to gin up deep within us. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.